Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for PremierGuitar.com, hanging out outside of Chicago just before the Green Day tour with Billy Joe's Tech. Hans, how you doing, Hans?
Very good, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for taking the time out before the tour rehearsals to show us all the gear. So let's dive right into the guitars.
The guitar everyone likes to hear about most is Blue. Billy's guitar he got many years ago for his birthday. And it's the same guitar. He's still playing it. There's a pic of him there on the back.
Is there anything particular he's done, I guess, in recent history? Because I'm sure he's done a lot of stuff to it.
It's a Seymour Duncan SH4, and it just sounds great. And not really much. I mean, this is the biggest mod, having the pickup angled like that. It's a completely different sound than having it just straight, like on a Les Paul.
What do you think he gets out of it? What does he prefer? What do you hear?
Well,
with the angle.
I'm still trying to figure it out in my mind why it sounds that way, but it just does. It's something different. You know, like Eddie Van Halen, same thing. His guitar has the pickup angled.
What songs is he using on this? It's probably traditionally the older stuff?
All the older stuff, yeah. It's all E flat.
And what about strings?
Tens. Okay. We're using
Ernie Balls.
Ernie Ball?
Yeah.
All right.
Next guitar. This guitar was the guitar that got broken in Las Vegas, and I put it back together for him because it was the first one that Gibson made for him of this model.
Signature?
Yeah, so the signature without the signature. So that's it, all one piece.
What does he typically use on terms of songs for this one?
This is all the newer stuff, not only the three albums, but it could... Well, let's see, let me find a set list.
Is there anything particular that you know of regarding the pickup? I know that Gibson designed a special, that H90 model. Is there...
Actually, honestly, that guitar just has a plain P90 in it.
Oh, all right.
It doesn't have the, what's it called, H90?
Yeah.
So this is an average set here. So, 99 Revolutions, new album. Know Your Enemy, 21st Century. Stay the Night, new album. Stop the Red Lights Flash. So this first top of the set will be like, you know, one of those, the Double Cut Junior or something like that. And then we get into, Hitchin' a Ride. That'd be the beginning of the E flat songs with Blue, and then we go back to the E tuning with Juniors and stuff like that.
So the difference pretty much is just the flat, the E flat to E standard tuning.
Yes.
All right.
The classic songs, and plus it's tens on a Fender, and tens on a Gibson. So the shorter scale length makes it appear it has a little less tension. This is one of his signature guitars. And we had a guy in the bay paint the body, and that has a Seymour Duncan Antiquity in it. And then this is a guitar Gibson put together for Billy. I don't know, they were talking about making it a model, I'm not sure, but they're 137, but with P90s in it, and simplified controls, just volume.
Is it stuffed with anything to...
Nope.
For feedback, or
stuffed,
I'm sure they probably...
Well, the guitar actually, it's kind of a...
Solid box.
A block down the middle of it and stuff like that, and so...
Plus, the guy with the Billy, I'm sure he enjoys the feedback versus, some
absolutely
guys that might want it to be pristine.
Just a 59, Double Cut Junior. We like them, getting them when they're a little more beat up like this, because then we can put the pin there. Because back here, it's pretty much useless.
Is this one, was this helped at all to design the signature that Gibson's doing now?
I don't think
so. Different Double Cut?
I think when the last time we went to Gibson, probably like 3 or 4 years ago, we were just hanging out with Pat Foley, going through the USA shop, and he just kind of picked up one of their run-of-the-mill juniors and just kind of said, hey, how about we do this and this and this? And it took him about 2 years to get the thing out, but that's what that guitar is, the first one they made of that. And then this guitar, I'm sure everyone will recognize, Black 55, and that has probably another Antiquity in it as well. And then here's something new, a Rick 360. He loves playing this thing.
Is there a spot in the set list or a song that he might gravitate for?
Nothing specific.
Okay.
Newer stuff. Again, simplified controls, just a volume. And then we haven't seen too much acoustic yet, but playing the J180, which was actually like the Everly Brothers guitar. And I think this is a fantastic live guitar. People say that the extra pickguards and stuff kind of dampen the tone and so forth, but I think for live, It's great. And it also, I think Everly Brothers' dad designed this bridge where the strings barely break over that bridge. You never have to worry about strings breaking or anything like that. It's just really nice guitar.
Makes your job a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. I still change the strings every day on it, though. So.
Well, never mind then.
So.
And what about in the front here, all the way in the front?
This guitar?
Yeah.
Okay, this is... This would be a... we gave a shitload of these away on... This is basically just the spare for Blue. So, same pickup. Simplified controls, and it's actually made out of a blackout Telecaster.
Oh, okay.
And then I just get the pick guards from WD, and I'll probably end up making 5 or 6 of these over the tour, because he'll either give them away or they get wrecked or something like that. So, pretty much disposable guitar.
All right, Hans, you pulled this one out for us because you said it hasn't been used yet, but you're working on it, and it could potentially be seen.
It could potentially be, yes, on stage, playing.
Sitting near you.
Or just hanging out in the case. I'm not sure. But, yeah, we just picked this up on eBay, a guy in Pennsylvania.
Tell us exactly what it is.
It's a Martin GT70. And I guess it's a guitar they made probably like 67, 68, just for a few years in the mid-60s. And, yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's a bolt-on neck guitar, so it's a little different than what they're known for, their acoustics. But,
yeah.
It's quite an oddball, so it's perfect for our needs.
Is there anything that you've done particular to it that you've needed since Billy's brought it on board?
All I've had to do is a fret level on it. I had to do a neck press on it. The neck was way too straight, so it would just buzz on the first 5 frets. So.
Is there anything particular that you know about at this point, or at least what they are, the pickups?
De-Armond pickups. They got a little different shape of the cover there, kind of give it that forward Chrysler kind of look. So.
Well,
but it's bright. It's a very bright pickup, but lots of adjustment in the pole pieces.
Well, it looks like that's it for guitars. Do you want to shift over, I guess, to amps?
Okay, yeah. We run 2 heads into 2 cabinets. Our front of house guy doesn't want all the guitar blasting into the vocal mics and stuff. So our back line is actually here. So these two are Billy's. Those two are Jason White's. And then Jeff Matika plays out of that last one. The one sitting on top is just... Yeah, we had an extra.
Is there anything specific, I guess, with speakers versus, you know, Billy to Jason? Are they the same
They're
to get
the
same.
That same? These cabs are really old, and honestly, nothing sounds better than old speakers that have, you know, that can be like 5 or 6 years old. And these could probably even older than that.
Do you know which the speakers they are?
30s, pretty much in everything, yeah. These heads were at Woodstock back in, what year was that, 94 or whatever it was? Pete and Meat. But I repainted them and stuff for a, some other show they did. So anyways, the mods in this, we call this the Dookie mod. It's also the Bradshaw gain mod.
To divulge a little, you know, secrets.
It cascades the front end and puts a master volume on it. And then this mod, the SE lead mod, that adds a tube to it for even more gain. And the way we run the heads, I mean, there's really only one way to... This is it, you know. All the knobs pretty much straight up, and the master and gain at like 10 o'clock. You turn it up any louder or any more gain, it doesn't really sound that great. And Billy's tone really isn't about tons of gain. It's not. It's actually cleaner than you would think it is. His technique playing and using the pick is more where the sound comes out of it. And he'll turn a guitar down and clean it up and, you know, pop it back up. So the main sounds we have for Billy would be this clean tone. And then we have a middle tone, and the clean and the mid are actually from this preamp here, the custom audio, what's the S3 plus SE thing? We only use the top 2 channels, our clean channel, and then the mid, and we're trying to mimic, like imagine like a small 10-inch combo amp just cranked up all the way. So like all the lows are cut out, all the mids are up.
So that's where you're getting the preamp power, and then the heads are for the power?
What we've done is we had all the heads modded with a preamp out, power amp back in, so we can swap out preamps and always use the Marshall power section. So the mid sound would be like the top of American Idiot, that ding, 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 ding. Okay. And then it blows up into the big sound that we have there. And then the only thing effect-wise, we were doing a delay and some stuff for Kill the DJ, but we're not doing that at the moment. Blues driver, and that's it. And I'll just kind of, depending upon the song, manipulate that just to get feedback or gain or whatever. I mean, we have one, this head actually runs two cabinets in the back line. They're not all plugged in, but one of them actually is, and that helps him get a little more feedback and stuff like that. Welcome to Paradise would be a...
I was going to say, is there anything that he does specific to get, you know, those tones, or is everything pretty set and he gets, you know, from Welcome to Paradise out to Make Out Party from new albums?
Nothing really changes as far as this stuff goes. Other than the three main sounds, all the changes come from swapping guitars in his hands, yeah. That's about it.
All right, so how is this all wired up and how are you getting the signal path all the while and, from the amps, pedals, okay, to...
We come in out of our wireless into a RJM IS-8, which I'm not sure if it's the actual production piece, but he made a couple of these up for me. It's an 8-input input switcher, because you got to have a lot of channels. And then those outputs go split off either into input for the 3+ or the two inputs on the Marshalls. And then using the looper, so here's our clean channel. We've got the SE input is open, and then the left and right SE outputs go into each power amp of the Marshall. And so our mid is the same signal path, but we're going into the second channel, which is our sort of mid-rangey kind of tone. And then our big channel pretty much takes this out of the loop, and it's just the Marshall front end into the Marshall power section. And then our effect, we just switch in that blues driver pedal. And using the RG16 is the other unit. And then the Mastermind.
When is the boss pedal kicked on, like any particular songs, or is it just whenever
his solos?
Okay.
Pretty much, you know. I mean, there's situations where I'm going between, you know, clean and big, like this much, you know, to keep things, you know, like really quiet and loud and so forth and so on. It's the impact, you know, these heads, you know, this one set up a little cleaner. I mean, Chris explained it over there. You know, sort of a vintage tone, and this would be more of like an 80s metal kind of sound, and blended together you can get a lot of punch and a lot of impact just hitting a chord. And again, a lot of that is Billy's technique and how he plays. I mean, you saw this black guitar, you know, the front end just ground in there, you know. I'm wondering, and you know, the wood between the frets wearing away, and a lot of pick powder everywhere.
And I forgot to ask before, when we're going through the guitars and strings, what about picks?
The Dunlop Tortex 73s.
Just has his mug on the front?
Yeah. We always do kind of different stuff. But this is the first time we went for the multicolor imprint pick. So, thank you, Dunlop.
All right, well, thank you very much, Hans, for taking the time to show us the rig.
Pleasure.
All right, we're over here at Jason White territory with his guitar tech, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to show us what Jason's using. Talk to us about the guitars right off the top.
His main guitar is this older 50s Les Paul with P90s.
Okay.
And we have the gold top kind of version as a backup, P90s as well.
Is there anything specific that he's changed on that, or is that pretty original?
Yeah, it's pretty original. It's pretty beat up, but it sounds great. We have a Les Paul with humbuckers that we use on a couple of other songs.
Any that jump out on top of your head?
We'll use it for Letterbomb. If he's doing more solo stuff, we'll use the humbuckers, you know, for a little more cut through sound. We have the silver tone that we use, which is kind of thin and jangly, that we use on a couple songs like Stray Heart and Kill the DJ, kind of disco-y sound. Yeah. And then we have a couple of 335s with the Fishman acoustic pickup that we switch back and forth between for, say, King for a Day and Minority and Jesus' Suburbia. We use a stereo cable for that, and we use the Fishman acoustic preamp for the acoustic side, and then the electric side goes into the front end through the pedals and the amps.
Are you just using it as a preamp, or are you guys actually selecting, because like I know that Fishman does like their image technology, are you guys selecting any specific images out of that?
Yeah, I mean, we have the Dreadnought that we like.
Okay.
It's pretty much straight out to the board.
Okay.
We don't use any other preamps with it, just feed it straight to the mix.
Gotcha. All right, and for strings, going through the whole lineup here, anything particular from each model, or are they all the same?
On the guitars that he uses for the leads, we started using the hybrid slinkies, so they have a little lighter on top and heavy on the bottom. So it's 9 through 16 on top. And the rest of them, just for more of the rhythm stuff, we just use the regular Slinkies, 10s, Ernie Balls. And the black Les Pauls we use for the drop D-sharp tunings for the old songs, basically, off of Dookie. That's pretty much it for his guitars. The only acoustic sounds that he uses are from the 335. We use this one on Boulevard when we use a capo on the first fret for the tuning. And then Minority switches between clean and dirty, clean and dirty. We use for that.
All right. Last thing about the guitars before we move on to amps is picks, of course. What's Jason using for guitar picks?
He has his own custom picks. I think they're .73s, just like Billy's. It's about the same gauge.
Okay.
It's just a different logo on the front.
All right. Looks like we're looking at Marshalls again here. Tell me about these ones.
It's basically the same heads that Billy uses. We've got the Dookie Mod Marshall and the SE lead on the bottom. And the thing about them is, the same with Billy's and Jason's is, they're always used together. We never use one head by itself, so it's a blend of the two. Okay. Typically, it's a little more crunch, vintage sound, and this is more a little higher gain, you know, a little fuller, I guess. And then blending is just real nice. You get the cut through, and then the deep, sustained kind of beefiness.
Is there anything particular on how this one's dialed in versus, or how these two are dialed in versus Billy's? Are they similar, or are they kind of purposely set up a little differently?
They're a little different. I know Hans keeps his kind of straight up. I do a little bit of scoop on the mids, on the SE lead, and if you see the preamps are pretty low. The gain, like he was saying, is actually pretty low. You know, we just kind of crank the master a bit so it breaks up, but it's not a super heavy, you know, overdriven sound. Which you'd be surprised, because when you listen to it, it's so big and full. Yeah. You don't need all that gain to get that sound, you know. And then we use the Custom Audio S3 Plus.
Okay.
Same deal with the clean channel on the, you know, on the first one. The second one we use is the kind of mid broken up combo sound.
Okay.
And we have a boost, which is basically just kicks in a little boost pedal, you know, for on leads.
Okay. What is that? I've never.
A Chandler, okay. Limited, Little Devil. Yeah, it's real nice.
What's in the back there?
Just a couple extra things we keep around that we never use. A little harmony pedal and a Phase 90. But basically, we use this for the acoustic and that for overdrive. And it's just 95% of the sound is just these two amps.
Okay. And then the rack mount Crybaby wall then?
We have a wall that's, you know, remote for the rack here that he uses at the end of Boulevard on the solo, and I have an alternate preset set for that I can turn on and off depending on what preset I'm on. For example, like Boulevard, clean actually engages the acoustic, and then that goes to the electric. The alternate preset kicks in the delay unit.
Okay.
On the solo.
What is that delay down there? Is it
the line 6.
Okay.
It's pretty simple, just, you know.
What settings is he using it on?
It's
a lot of different parameters.
Triplet, basically.
Okay, so
yeah, nothing crazy. Just like bam, 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 you know.
Is there, and how's this all wired up and everything in your rack with the RJM there?
Yep, everything goes through here. You know, some loops on the front end. We've got the wah pedal, harmony pedal, phase 90, which we never use. Wah and the boost are the two. Switch between the electric and acoustic on the 335s. We've got your 3 Plus here, which is this. We use the function switch to switch channels between 1 and 2 there. You can see it changing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the Echo Pro's in there. Both Marshalls, you can see, are always on, the Dookie and the SE lead. And it's pretty simple. That's about it.
And I see
volume as well that he has, which is a pre-volume.
Just a mute for changing guitars and stuff?
Yeah, tuning. He'll back it off a bit when he's, you know, because Billy does a lot of eye contact stuff with the band where he'll do this to bring it down, and, you know, he'll back it off on the volume pedal.
All right. And the last thing, I guess, is the wireless. What's the Shure?
Yeah, I think these are pretty new, UR4Ds, but pretty much everything is wireless. You know, we switch with the input selector here. Except for the 335s, because we use a stereo cable to go between the acoustic and electric sound. And that's about it.
All Well, thank you very much for your time, Chris.
Cool, man.
Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. All right, we're over here with Eden. How you doing, Eden?
Hey, great. All right.
We are over here in Mike's area. Talk to us about what Mike is using for basses. I guess we'll start with basses.
Well, he's got his signature bass here. This is these are pretty badass. These are his latest model. He's got other ones coming out soon.
So this is a production model?
Yeah, this is the Mike Dirnt bass. This is with the maple neck. Which we just got, which are real nice, man. And then he's got, okay, and these are the old ones.
Say, is the 69 in there?
This is the ones he plays for the old songs. And yeah, this is a 58. This one is real nice. His wife gave this to him for his birthday. This is a beautiful bass.
A pretty nice wife.
Yeah. And yeah, when he gave it to me, he's like, yeah, fix it up. Let's take that out on the road.
What did you do to it to get it up and ready
well,
for the road?
The pickups that came with it weren't working, so I switched them out with the Fender pickups that I use for all the other ones. But when I did it, it kind of hurt my feelings, you know, because this thing had never been touched, and all original solder and all original wires. And but, you know, I just unsoldered it at the pickup and put these in. I sent the other ones away. They should be coming back any day now. I'm going to put those back in. But, man, this thing sounds great. It's beautiful.
Is there anything different that he does besides tuning for setup or anything between the basses that are used for the old material and the new material?
Yeah, the old material we tuned down to... We turned down one step. This bass is the bass that was played at a iHeart Radio Festival and it got smashed and broken in half. And I glued it back together. And it sounds great. It sounds awesome. And
is there any particular songs that he uses this one on?
Yeah, all this stuff, all the new stuff, and it's pretty much, you know. When we're doing the show, he starts off with this one or this one, and we switch them out, and then I got these two also for now, and then when it comes to the old songs, I got these. So
whose Incredible Hulk mask is that?
That was thrown on the stage. I don't know. I just liked it. We get a lot of stuff thrown on stage. So Mike, he's always coming up with ideas. And so he called me and he's like, how about a black neck on a black body with a black pickguard? So we called Fender, called our guy Billy Siegel over at Fender and asked for a black neck. So they painted this neck and I put this all together. And I think it looks cool. This one, he asked me, he's like, how about a leopard pick guard and kind of a, you know, skin color body? And so I was looking all over for some kind of leopard material and I couldn't find anything that looked cool. So I painted that leopard on there myself and put it on.
Stencil or is it a freehand?
No, freehand. And then I showed it to him and he really liked it. He used it in Kill the DJ video. Yeah.
And then all of his signature basses that we've seen here and all the production models come with the badass two bridge then too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can go out to the store and buy these. I mean, when I get them, they're pretty much ready to go right out of the box. You know, just do intonation and a couple things here and there, but these basses are great.
Just general setup stuff, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, just minor things like raise the or lower the pickups, but other than that, they're good to go, man. Those things are solid. And then these are his signature amps here, the Super Bassman, and these are great. And he helped design them. And
how does he typically run them in terms of setup and, you know, settings?
Yeah, well, it's you know, we got overdrive. And then we got clean, but the clean is still pretty, you know, it's got some good punch to it. And these amps have won awards since they've come out, and man, Fender is just like so happy with them. They're great.
Does he run both of them at the same time, or is the other one just a backup?
Backup, yep. And then I got another backup standing by, just in case. And yeah, these come with the, and then we play them out of the cabinets over there. And he helped design the whole look. And
was there anything that he specifically wanted tonally, or anything like controls or aesthetics that you know of?
Like the pool, he pretty much everything. After the last big tour that they did, he sat down and wrote a letter to Fender, and pretty much told them what they've been doing right and what they used to do right and what they should do and make it look cool, and he helped design the whole thing, and man, it's a great amp and people love it, and it's doing really well, man. It's a good seller.
Glad to hear that they got his letter, because I wrote a letter a couple years ago and I thought it got lost with the one that I wrote to Santa. So at least they listened to Mike, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
What does he use for string gauge and string company's brand?
We use Fender. And
should have guessed.
Yeah.
Is there any effects that Mike's using?
No.
Nothing?
Straight out. Yeah. That's the beauty of designing your own amp. Yeah, you don't need anything. Yeah.
What about in the bass cabinets? Do you know what speakers he's running in those?
Yeah, Fender stock speakers.
I should have guessed it was Fender all around.
Yeah.
All right, well, Ethan, thank you very much for your time.
All right, thanks, dude.
Thank you.
All right.
This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. If you want to check out more Rig Rundowns, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if not, well, come back some other time.